Bobby and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Joining the show is Odyssey NFL insider Mark Herzlich. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Mark, welcome in. I'm pretty sure I got your last name correct.
Yeah. I'm here. I got my entrance ding into the my live mic as you were saying that. So I think you did get my name right. Yeah, Herzlich, Mark Herzlich.
Yep. Herzlich, yep, okay. So, Mark, NFL camps are opening across the league. We got the preseason game number one for most teams. I know the Hall of Fame game happened, but if you're the Saints right now, do you let Mike Thomas play? Do you let some of these guys that are perhaps coming off an injury, even Tyrann Mathieu started camp late, do you let these guys play in the first preseason game?
No, and there's really no reason to. You know, there's with the new preseason schedule, obviously you have minimal amount of time to see these guys. But in the first place, you know, this is – I think you really boil training camp down when you look at the new preseason to, like, it's the first three games. Like, the last game anyways was kind of like no starters played regardless. And the first week, no starters usually play anyways either. So – I think if you have any guys who are questionable, you sit them, you don't let them play, but you bring them to the environment, you bring them to the atmosphere, because you know, that's something that you know, you remember and you realize, but you get excited for football even more, especially after all those grueling days of camp. When you're sitting at the game, even if you're not playing, you just get pumped up for the season. So, you know, bring them, you know, have them play, obviously, and it's, I think it's when you sit them for.
Mark, today at Saints camp, cornerback Bryce Thompson went down with a leg injury right in front of the media, and it looked like he was in a lot of pain, and we don't know the circumstances. And Bryce Thompson was a dark horse to make this team, but when you see it in practice, man, it just makes you think, golly, that poor young man worked his tail off, and he's probably going to have to miss some time in rehab. And it's just, I would imagine as a player, it's really, really frustrating to have an injury at all, but in particular in practice before the season even begins.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, I think regardless of where you are in terms of the depth chart or the roster, you know, the bubble or not on the bubble, you just don't want to get hurt in camp. You know, the camp is tough as it is, and you want to protect yourself and you want to get ready for the season, and you've worked so hard. Like, I think a lot of people forget, you know, you don't forget because you cover the team, but people forget that they've been working. I mean, they've already been working for months and months and months. And now to get to this point, being so close to that first opportunity to show what you got on film and to get hurt, it's a devastating thing. And it's mentally very challenging because, you know, hey, this is my opportunity. When am I going to get the next opportunity? And so I feel for guys like that.
Now, Mark, obviously, well, I know he's got rumors and we have fun with this. And everybody wants to get paid. Now you got to pick and choose who you're going to pay here in New Orleans. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson wants to be compensated. He thinks he's the top nickel slot corner in the NFL. And then you got Roquan Smith with the Bears. And I'm just playing fantasy here. I'm saying, boy, if we can have Roquan Smith alongside DeMario Davis, I think that'd be the best duo of linebackers, you know, because we do basically a 4-2-5 concept. And Deontay Taylor has looked that good that even as disruptive as C.D. Deuce, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is, that, boy, if Mickey Loomis can work his magic, is that pie in the sky or what? Because to me, you talk about not a guy just a Pro Bowler, but all pro. And I was telling Saints fans that here's a guy, Roquan Smith, he's like 8 years younger than DeMario Davis. Do you think he gets it worked out with the Bears or what? Or that's maybe a trade could come about with that. Are the Bears that stupid or what?
Well, I think that the Bears have shown that they over the past, you know, however many years, they understand the value of pass rushers, first of all, and they understand the value of linebackers who can make plays. Now, however, that linebacker position, you know, I played linebacker too, and it's a position that you look at and you say, oh my gosh, how much do we need this guy, right? Because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes those guys get slipped between the cracks and they do find somewhere else because they demand amount of money that usually that position you can get away with someone for less. Now, I think you're right. Like, if he can get in, with DeMario,
right.
You talk about 8 years.
We stole him from the Jets, Mark.
Exactly. I know, exactly. So, like, you get a guy like that, and he's been so good and, like, so emotional leader, and he's a league leader, too. I mean, don't forget about that. Like, outside of just the team, like, whether it's in the off season, there are all these conferences and the, NFLPA and stuff like that. Like, he is a league leader. So when you can get a guy who's a young stud underneath him like that, like, I mean, the potential is endless for what those two could do together.
Mark, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says evidence calls for at least a full year suspension for Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. And one of the things that he said, he's quoted as saying in a league meeting to basically verify the ownership group of the Denver Broncos, he says, quote, "We've seen the evidence. She, the victim, was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence. There were multiple violations that were egregious, and it was predatory behavior." It seems like this all has to do with, and one of our co-hosts, Mike Dettillier, pointed this out, this all really might have to do with the fact that 31 owners are upset with the Cleveland Browns owner because he guaranteed a quarterback and a player $230 million that's never been done before.
And Mark, after you comment on that, why is he even making a statement?
Yeah,
if he designated Peter C. Harvey to take over.
Undue influence right there.
Yeah, well, I think, so first of all, think about Goodell. Like, right, Peter C. Harvey has taken over the neutral arbitration, not because Goodell wanted to turn that over, right? It's because it was negotiated with the NFLPA.
Right.
So that was a negotiated factor. So, he still has a little bit of that, hey, I had control of this before, now I don't. Now, I think my personal opinion, and, not having read all the behind-the-scenes, casework and stuff, is, you look at what happened and the accusations and the evidence, and you say, okay, this is a guy who was, he was sexually abusing people. And I think that Goodell is, I don't know his mindset, but you think he's understanding, and maybe since he's farther away from the actual decision, he's looking at me like, wait a second, we're letting this guy who has been sexually abusing women right back into the limelight, and is that good enough? Like, is that sufficient enough? And I do think that there's been media pressure and there's been outside pressure put on this to say, and Goodell needs to make it look all clean and polished for their owners, right? He needs to make the shield without blemish. So right now, Deshaun Watson put the blemish on that shield, and I think that's what happened.
Well, the shield without blemish, they have to look at Mr. Ross in Miami and Daniel Snyder in Washington. Talk about hypocrites. Yeah. I mean, come on, Mark. That's a bunch of BS there.
Well, Mark, and also, it's worth pointing out, Mark, the two grand juries declined to bring up criminal charges on Deshaun Watson.
Right. And that makes sense. If you look at any sexual assault case or any sexual abuse case, a lot of times there is not enough evidence to prove them guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I mean, that happens a lot, and then it goes to civil cases, and it's a little bit different. And so, that's just how those things work out. And to be honest, what I'm saying is, okay, better late than never. If you're going to get it right, yeah, you might seem like a hypocrite, but let's get it right. Like, if this is your next opportunity to get something right, get it right.
Mark, especially what happened with Ray Rice and the commissioner screwed that up. But the one thing I look at, because the Players Association, they want to have it, or the perception, they have Deshaun Watson's back. And I think Deshaun Watson and his camp, they do not want to be, okay, we're missing the whole season. And wouldn't this seem like this would be a compromise? Now, if you're against Deshaun Watson, nobody's changing your mind. And if you fire Deshaun Watson, you can accept what's going to come about. It's like Donald Trump. If you fire Donald Trump, nobody's changing your mind. If you're against him, it's the same thing. Well, it's like Deshaun Watson. So when I look at, okay, 6-game suspension, what if the arbitrator, Peter C. Harvey, comes about and says, okay, we're going to give him 12 games. And then, you know, the fine was going to be, I think, right under $400,000. But even to go along with $8 million. But then he still gets to play this season. I think Deshaun Watson and his camp, they want to play this season. And so it seems like that'd be somewhat of a compromise that if you went with a suspension from 6 to 12 games, that you're not giving in to the NFL totally. And so the players do have some say-so, and that being a compromise. Do you think that's far-fetched when you look at it? That'd be somewhat, let's say, I don't know, the fine around the NFL was saying they wanted at least 1 year of fine, you know, indefinite suspension, at least 1 year and $8 million, and having to even have evaluation treatment going into counseling and all that. But to me, you could do all that, and let's say, I'm just going to throw it out there, 12 games, $6 million. And it seems like you're trying to work together, that being the players' union and the NFL management, as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot. This is the reason why they have a neutral arbitrator, right? Because there shouldn't be compromise in this type of case. This should be someone's deciding what the punishment is, and you can appeal that. Like, that's a part of the process. You can appeal it. And then right. It goes back to the courts to decide. So there shouldn't be a negotiation between the NFLPA and the ownership on this. Like, that's you lay out your case and the neutral arbitrator decides. So, you know, I think that it's going to go back and, you know, it's been appealed and it'll be up to the arbitrator to decide. And what they decided early on, obviously the first ruling, was that this is along the lines of what's been happening before. Right. This is there's precedent set, and you know, whether this neutral arbitrator decides, hey, I'm going to have the guts, but I'm going to decide to create new precedent in this situation or not. And I think that's going to be the biggest decision that they make.
Now, Mark, before we let you run, thanks for coming on again. When you look at the Saints and you look at the NFC, I think, I don't know, maybe some insiders like yourself or a few people, they might be somewhat on that Saints bandwagon, but I'm telling who that nation. And look, we're not in the AFC. Okay, I look at this. Okay, you look at the Rams. Can they defend their title? And you look at Green Bay, obviously, because of Aaron Rodgers. I think they could be a lot better defensively. And then you look at the Packers, Tom Brady. You don't know because it's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. That's why you look at the Packers and the Bucks. But the point being, I look at the Saints, and this happened recently. You know, we beat Tampa Bay twice last year, and we beat Green Bay to kick off the season. So if you perceive it like who's amongst the best at the NFC, I don't know how Vegas. They started out at 7.5. Is it Sean Payton effect, Drew Brees? It went 7.5, 8, 8.5. I'd be extremely disappointed. I think a lot of Saints fans, if we don't get to double-digit wins. We had all these injuries last year, and we won 9 games. What is your take from like an outside looking at the Saints and where they're at? Because I think, look at the receiving core, they got so much better. They got one of the better defenses in the National Football League. It's all about Jameis, but we're all excited about Andy Dalton also being the backup. But just break down the Saints. Are we too like pie in the sky and being too much a homer? Or what is your take on the Saints?
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as being too homer. Be proud of your team. I love when people do that. But, you know, I think that when you look at the NFC, and I think you're right, like, there's a lot of question marks. There's more question marks in the NFC on, like, are those teams that are usually good going to be good again? And you have an entire division of the NFC East. Like, you have a whole set that you have no idea. Like, you're pretty sure the Giants are not going to be very good. The Commanders, I'm not, you know, you don't know. The Eagles, the Cowboys might be the only threat from there, really. And so when you look kind of outside of there, the Saints have a really, their stadium and their atmosphere and their fan base is a tool and it's a weapon. So anytime you get people at home, it's huge. Like having the Las Vegas Raiders at home in October, like that's big. Having the Baltimore Ravens at home is big. Like, those things are big
right.
for the Saints' schedule because you can use that atmosphere of the Dome to win some of those games where if you were traveling during those, it might have been tougher.
Mark, one more. Because of Cleveland Browns decision to pay Deshaun Watson that guaranteed money. And the next CBA, don't you think that the players are going to really, really harp on getting fully guaranteed contracts? They tried it before in CBAs, and the owners weren't having it. You have it in the NBA, and you have it in MLB, but wouldn't you think they're going to try?
Yeah, they're not. It's not going to happen.
I agree. I was trying to tell the casual fan and all, the owners will never give that up. They won't give that up across the board because it's a violent sport, and you'd have players. Well, no, I'm really hurt, and then playing.
So this will be a little bit of history lesson too for just the listeners of, because I was on the executive committee for the NFLPA for 6 years. And so I was in those negotiations for the new CBA. And actually, the guaranteed contracts did not come from CBA negotiations in the other sports. They came from precedent set by players themselves. So when you look at what the players need to do to get guaranteed contracts, they need to do like the things that Kirk Cousins did to get that contract of, I'm going to, franchise me 3 times. Or the players need to say, we're going to limit the amount of times you're allowed to franchise a player even more than they did in this CBA, so that players get to the table and can demand guaranteed contracts when they have that ability to demand it. And then the next guy comes and says, well, this guy got it, now I want the guaranteed contract. So that is the process for which that happened in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, and that's where you need to get to in the NFL. But there's so many contingencies like franchise tags and stuff like that, that are holding the players back from there.
Mark, appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Herzlich. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.